You're listening to the Exhibit Report Podcast, episode number 6. The Exhibit Report Podcast is your source for insights, tips, and ideas on how to increase revenue by marketing your business in live events. Events like home and garden shows, boat shows, RV shows, outdoor events, and much more. I'm your host, Gary Neidert. Welcome to today's episode. Here's what we'll cover today. Today, I'm replaying an interview with Lori Renfro, and she is the owner of Trade Show Management. She provides staffing for companies exhibiting in her home and garden shows. So let's get on with this. Who is Gary Neidert? I've been working with home improvement type companies since 1992, helping them to market their business and live events, specifically home and garden shows here in Texas. I work with the Dallas Home and Garden Show, the Fort Worth Home and Garden Show, the Texas Home and Garden Show Houston, and the Texas Home and Garden Show Las Colinas. Been married for over 22 years, one daughter who is a social media rock star. I'm a grandfather. I've got two grandkids, a grandson. He'll be 5 years old in February, and my granddaughter will be 2 in December. I've been able to enjoy going to my grandson's T-ball baseball games, and that has just been a real thrill to watch, not only my grandson, but all these little kids out there playing. They're playing in the dirt, but they're learning how to follow instruction. They're learning how to listen to one voice in the middle of many voices, listening to the coach and what the coach listening to what the coach tells them to do. And that has, I've really, really enjoyed that. I'm a podcaster, and some of my hobbies, I love reading about marketing. I like developing YouTube videos, and I've got a Honda Trail 90 that I'm in the process of fixing up. Like to get it back on the road again. This was a Honda Trail 90 that my dad had many years ago. It sat in the garage for over 25 years with a full tank of gas and never was started, and so it's needed some TLC. But I want to get that fixed up and get it on the road again and maybe trade it for something else. So my background, when I was in college, I enjoyed getting junk mail, or as it's called now, direct mail or direct response marketing mail. Since then, I've been a student of direct response marketing, and I've applied marketing principle to selling exhibiting space as well as working with clients as they exhibit in home and garden shows. While I'm doing this podcast, I want to be able to inspire. I want to encourage you to go beyond the comfort zone and achieve more success. We're going to be out there together outside the comfort zone. I'm doing things that, yes, they put me outside of my comfort zone. And that's okay. So I'll be right there with you outside the comfort zone. Want to inform, give you ideas and tips of how to market your business in live events, as well as some general marketing tips, along with some general marketing tips. I want to teach what I've learned about marketing and about exhibiting. And there might be some entertainment value in the mix of all this. Sometimes I have some bad jokes and, as my daughter and son-in-law call them, my Garyisms. And the crazy thing about the Garyisms, sometimes they just sneak right up on you and you're right in the middle of it before you know what's happening. My wife and I talked about that not long ago and how I'm able to just sneak that up on her, and she's right in the middle of it before she realizes what's going on. So today we're going to listen to a replay of an interview I did with Lori Renfro. Before we get into the replay, I want to set this up. She provides staffing for several different companies working in the home and garden shows. Some of these clients are mine directly, and some of them are other salespeople in the show. But I've watched her work her magic with these companies over the years. Lori trains her people to go for the appointment when talking with a prospect. If the prospect won't set an appointment, the staff at least works to get the lead. April of 2012, I believe it is, I recorded an interview with her that has all kinds of good information about exhibiting. And today you get to listen to that interview as she explains her approach on how to work home and garden shows as well as other live events. Even the State Fair of Texas. At the time I'm doing this recording, we are in the first week of the State Fair of Texas for 2015. And yes, Lori will be staffing several booths there. So as you listen to this interview, pay attention to some ideas that you can apply to your business when working live events. Here it is. You're like most people that are responsible for increasing your company's sales revenue. You're always looking for ways to sell more of your products or services. Stay with me for the next few minutes and you'll hear some inside information on what you can do to increase your sales revenue. Hello, I'm Gary Neidert with International Exhibitions Incorporated. We produce home shows and home and garden shows in Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, and Las Colinas. During the next few minutes, I'll be talking with Lori Renfro with Trade Show Management. Lori has a unique insight on how to get the most bang for your marketing buck by exhibiting live events like our home and garden shows. I've asked her to share some insider business tips that can help make your business more profitable. Lori, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to give our listeners a few insider tips on increasing sales revenue.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad you could do this. First of all, Lori, if you would, tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you learned about exhibiting in shows.
Well, my degree is actually in advertising, but my desire has always been to be in event marketing in some aspect. I have the unique perspective that all of my experience comes from a broad range of things. I worked with a newspaper creating festivals and events. I worked with decor companies doing pipe and drape and layout and design, and pretty much every aspect of event marketing I have been in one way or another. I don't just look at an event from the management point of view, but from every side of it. Mm-hmm. So when I walk into a show, I can see every perspective.
How long have you been doing the shows now?
Well, I've been in event marketing for about 25 years. My company, Trade Show Management, has been in existence for three and founded basically out of what I saw as a niche in the market that no one was hitting.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. What prompted you to start your business?
Well, I was the event marketing manager for a company, and I have, like, you know, my specific formula, the way I see it. All the pieces of the puzzle have to be in place. And I just noticed, being in the marketplace, that so many people were hitting one or two or three aspects of the puzzle, but they weren't putting the whole pieces together. So their return on their investment wasn't nearly what it could be. Actually, people kept approaching me because, watching my staff at shows, they would approach me and say, try to measure themselves next to what we our return was. Mm-hmm. And they could never hit close to that. It just became out of necessity that people were going, please do for me what you're doing for them.
Yeah. Well, that's a good place to be in.
Yeah.
You and I had a conversation during one of our past shows about how to work a booth. And your approach is not like the traditional way of working the shows, like I've seen in the past. And for the most part, you know, the owner works the booth, or he has salespeople working a booth. They spend a lot of time with the attendees. And your approach is so much more different, although it is so much more effective. Can you tell me about that?
Well, that's one of the major pieces of the puzzle. You know, to me, they're all major. That's one of the really big things, is people go, we're going to do a show. And they buy a booth and they put up a couple of little things that may or may not be effective. And then they pull up their little chair behind a 6-foot table and sit and wait for people to come. And people do come, but they walk right by you because you've done nothing to draw them in. People would refer to my team as hawkers, but we're completely respectful of the people around us. But am I going to miss opportunity because you're sitting in a chair and I'm on my feet? Uh-huh. No. My team works with their toes on the edge of our carpet at the front of the booth with nothing between them and the customer, and invite everyone right into the booth. Come touch it. Come feel it. Mm-hmm. We're here. We're goodwill ambassadors, and we're here to share information. And I say to them all the time, if we don't share this information, the world will come to an end. If you don't have that kind of
no pressure, now.
Passion, but it's passion about, mm-hmm. if the world were coming to an end, we would all be passionate about making sure that everyone was taken care of, or at least ourselves. Mm-hmm. If we don't share this information with you, because this event has an expiration date, which is Sunday night at whatever, 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, if we don't share everything we can share, then it's over. Mm-hmm. And as the world as I see it is over, mm-hmm. because that event's not going to come around for another year. So we have to work as fast and hard as we can to hit every person that walks by that booth and invite them into our space as quickly as possible.
Okay, so how do they do that? Or do they do that with, handing a piece of literature out, or do they just do it verbally, or combination? Or
yeah. Verbally, we do not hand out literature. I look at it more like the first question should never be hi. It should be, do you have this need?
Yeah.
Like, whatever the need is, do you need windows and doors? Do you need a bathroom? Do you need more sunlight in your house? Do you need whatever applies to your product? Mm-hmm. That's the question. Mm-hmm. It's an open question. Or have you seen this product before? This is amazing. If you're not excited about it, then why should they be? We don't ever pass out brochures like it's candy.
Yeah.
I don't even like candy in my booth, frankly, because people get your candy and run. I want a conversation. Everybody that walks into my booth is going to have a conversation with me.
What about business cards and literature? Do you even at least have that in the booth, or is your whole approach trying to get the attendee to set an appointment with you?
We're very appointment driven. We do have a brochure for every client that I work with has a brochure. We want to leave them with something in their hand. Mm-hmm. Business cards, I don't really care for, because everything can be on a brochure that explains your product, has a picture of your product, and your contact information. Mm-hmm. So to me, a business card is kind of pointless. I only want one piece of paper, mm-hmm. and I only want to hand one piece of paper. Unless you book an appointment, then everybody expects something special at the show. We typically try to give brochures to people that book
an appointment, mm-hmm. at the show.
Either yeah. book, give us their information as a lead, or book an appointment to get the show special. So we're kind of stingy with brochures.
After you set up an appointment or collect the leads, what kind of results are the salespeople getting when they go on the appointment? In other words, how effective is it for the salesperson gathering leads like this in this fashion?
It depends on the show. You know, if you're talking about a home improvement product at a home improvement show, then the results are going to be far higher. Your ROI is going to be way better. When you start branching out of that home and garden box, if you're a home improvement company, and you look beyond that and you start doing festivals and all kinds of events, because basically, if everybody in the world who owned a house came to a home and garden show, you would never have a need to do anything else. You could just do 2 home and garden shows a year and that'd be the end of it. But they don't. I mean, we would all love that, but it doesn't happen that way. So we basically run mobile showrooms to any event. There's different kinds. Sometimes we do a tabletop event. Sometimes we'll do an outdoor event. Sometimes we'll do a home improvement product at a bridal show. You know, it's hard for me to step over into the sales side, because how do I know that you have successful salespeople? I try to stay away from the sales side of it. While I do want to make sure that, you know, we're doing the best job we can do in the booth to get you the most opportunity that we can. You know, you want to try to sell 30% of anything you bring in. If you can get to 60, then you've got the right team, the sales team.
Yeah.
But most people are going to hit around 30 to to 40% of everything. So I know the more I bring you, the more you get, the better your opportunities.
Right.
But I think a mistake that a lot of people make is what happens to the leads when they come back to the office.
Mm-hmm. Now, that brings up a good point, because I know that follow-up that's a big problem, whether it's at home and garden shows or just in the trade show industry. People are not following up on the leads that come from the show, and that's wasted money. So how do you work with that after the show's over with, the leads are gathered, the appointments are done? How do you handle that?
The first day after a show, every person should be called twice. Unless you have a huge volume and you can't conceivably mm-hmm. do that, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds. And I mean a huge volume meaning hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to make 300 calls or close to 250, 300 calls in one day.
Mm-hmm.
I'd call them once in the morning and once in the afternoon. That's an important question that should be on every lead card, is best time of day to call, so that you know exactly when to find these people home. Asking the right questions to help you do your job better on the back end is vital. I mean, if you're calling somebody at 10 o'clock every morning and they're never home till 6 o'clock at night, then you've missed them every time. So you called them six times at 10 o'clock in the morning and they never answered their phone. So you put them in your dead file and considered them dead, when really you just didn't have the right information to call them at the time when they were available.
You know, you get the lead at the show. They willingly give you their name and information, their phone number, all that kind of thing. The follow-up team, they make the calls, but they never can connect to the individual. How long do you keep that information?
For years.
Do you constantly go back every 3 months, 6 months, whatever, and mm-hmm. follow up on that?
Absolutely. I think that's a mistake that people make. They call them 3-4 times and then they never call them again.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked for companies where we'll go back in 2011 or 2012 and work 2009 leads. If you had a need in 2009 and you never did anything about it, mm-hmm. are you still a viable prospect? Absolutely. Right. The product was interesting to you, but life, you know, whatever, the foundation broke or, you know, whatever got in the way of you using that some money toward this project.
Let's say that there is a company out there, they've never done a home and garden show. They may or may not understand what it's all about, other than they know they don't want to stand in a booth to try to get leads, try to sign people up, try to sell anything. If they were to take the approach like what you're doing and or like use your services, what kind of difference would it make for that company?
Well, I can give you one of my clients who has two products, and I've known them for years before I ever worked with them. They would, when I first met them, they would do a fourth of what I would do in my booth, a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I coached them, because I was just thought they were nice and wanted to help them, so I coached them, they would get to half. But that was about as much as they could do,
mm-hmm.
because there wasn't enough understanding about when the owner's in the booth or a salesman's in the booth, he is trained to sell the product. How do you make yourself not sell product when that's what you're trained to do? Nobody ever wrote a check in a trade show for a product, especially if it's a home improvement,
right,
where you have to go do a free estimate. You don't know how much it's going to cost. You got to see it. You got to measure it, blah, blah, blah. So it's pointless to put a salesman who's trained to sell in a booth where he's going to try to sell and he still can't sell it in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
So my team, I created the team who can just gather the opportunities, because the salesman is going to spend 45 minutes with one person who may be just lonely and wants to carry on a conversation and has no interest in your product whatsoever. But the salesman wants to sell it, so they're not going to stop the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
My team's going to talk to them 3 to 5 minutes and they're out of there. And, you know, they're going to cut it off and move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Because you're either going to give me your information or I'm moving to the next guy. You have to change the way you perceive what a trade show or a consumer show is for. It is for to gather information,
mm-hmm.
not to sell product.
Mm-hmm.
We sell concepts. We sell the concept that you can have this product. We don't sell product. So when an owner gets in the booth, he's so passionate, he can't stop talking. He talks and talks and talks and talks because he's thinking he's selling.
I tell you, this is such a different concept. And there are some exhibitors that's they're adamant about their approach in the booth, the owner, that they don't want to let go of it. They think they can do it better, and they have the product knowledge and the knowledge of what they do as a company, but they're not willing to let go of it to let someone like yourself and your team gather leads for them. And I see too many people come away from a show that said, yeah, it was okay, or, you know, I didn't do that well, and they didn't properly work the show. And what I'm seeing is, especially over the last 5 years, you can't sit back in a booth and wait for it to come. No. You have to be aggressive. You have to engage people in the aisle. Every person that walks down that aisle, you have to some sort of engagement with them. People have so much information overload. I mean, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, so you have to keep it short and sweet, and you have to keep it limited to a small amount of information. If the staff tells you everything, or anybody in the booth tells you everything in the booth about the product, why do they want you to come to your house? Mm-hmm. They've already made their sales decision now.
Yeah.
So now you've lost. You're like saying you have to decide right here in the booth. You're like telling them you're deciding right here in the booth, or I don't need to come to your house.
Yeah. So it's like sell the appointment first. Mm-hmm. To get into the house, mm-hmm. and then sell the job, mm-hmm. when they're in the house.
Exactly.
I've heard you say, go to where the checkbook lives.
Yeah. The checkbook doesn't live. Nobody carries their checkbook anymore.
Yeah.
So you have to go to the house where the checkbook lives.
Yeah.
I see this all the time. People walk into your booth and the salesman just stands there and looks at you.
Yeah.
And then he might say, any questions? When my team is like this, have you seen this product before? This is what it is. This is what it does. Do you have a need for it? Do you have a need to redo this, do that, or whatever? They just get into the spiel and tell you about the product. We'll figure out if you need it on the back end of a 3-minute conversation, you know. But sometimes they don't have to need it, but grandma might need it or mom might need it. So we want everybody who walks by the booth to know about every single client's product.
Yeah. Our owners and business managers, can they be trained to operate like this?
You know, to a certain degree, yes, they can. But I'll tell you, they don't want to. Somebody who owns a company and works all week does not want to spend, you know, 10 hours standing in a booth on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't allow any chairs. My clients are never allowed to put a chair in their booth. My team is there to work. They're not there to sit down. I call it get up worthy. Once you sit down, everybody that walks by becomes get up worthy. Are you worthy of me getting up? And when you're tired, the answer is always no. And back in the old days, you know, I'd let one chair or something be there. And I saw the minute somebody sat down, everybody was talking. Mm-hmm. The conversation starts. So then you just watch people walk by.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing I never want to see happen is people. You want to see me? My team calls me Hitler sometimes. Oh, you may want to take that out.
Yeah, I can do that.
My team thinks I'm really tough on them, but they get it, so they know the value of it.
Mm-hmm.
So to stand up the whole time and be on their feet doing their job, speaking to people eye to eye, showing them, you know, being passionate about it, you know, learning the, you know, the ins and outs, you know, of the conversation and what information to share. And, you know, I say, do 2 or 3 sentences about your product and then ask a question and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Let them talk to you, mm-hmm. and then ask questions as you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But keep the conversation at about 3 minutes. If you can't get them to sign up in 3 minutes, 5 is the absolute max, then they need to go out of your booth.
There was one time I did a study on how I sat and calculated one time about how many people in the average show you could see every 3 minutes. And that's from the time the show opens on 2 o'clock Friday afternoon until it closes on 6 o'clock Sunday evening. Spending 3 minutes with each person, one salesperson in the booth, one person working the booth, could see about 240 people the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not so much about the volume of attendees, but it's what you do with the attendees that come to the show. And that's something I've watched you do. There have been shows that wall-to-wall people, and then there have been shows that are slow. But even though the slow shows, you're able to get the prospect engaged and get leads out of the show, get appointments set, even though it might be not a well-attended show. So it doesn't mean that it, so it means that just because a show is lightly attended doesn't mean it's a bad show.
No.
It just means it's a lightly attended show for whatever reason. Now, let me ask you this. And if a show is super busy, can that be detrimental?
It can be detrimental if you're not prepared. Part of the good thing about, I don't know what it is about me, my experience and whatever, but I pretty much can walk into a show on setup day and know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I love that when, like, I know people complain sometimes about Friday shows because they're not as well attended. I love Friday shows because Friday shows are kind, I call them dress rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
because they're slow, but I can look at a Friday show's numbers and know that I better call somebody extra in on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because if Friday was this, you know, like the numbers are this high, then Saturday's going to be even more.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make adjustments based on what the, like one show we went to, the energy was so intense when I walked into the Friday, or actually the setup on like Thursday or something. It was so intense in there that I called every client and said, I'm adding one more person to your booth.
Wow.
I have to.
Yeah.
I can feel it, that it's going to be, it was absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And it was like, thank goodness I did that, or we would have missed opportunity.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes me ill, is if you're not prepared, you know, like sometimes I have clients who don't listen to me about how many brochures to bring. You always bring at least a few hundred more than you ever think you'll need.
Yeah.
So I say, always bring this many and then add 200 to it.
Yeah.
This is what I think I might need, but add 200 to it. Or you're spending all day driving around getting supplies for something you should have been prepared for. That's part of the deal. Part of the piece of the puzzle is being prepared and understanding what could happen. You know, it's like I have to tell clients all the time. They're like, well, that show last year, we didn't do very good, so we're not going to do it again. I go, yeah, that was you. Yep. I've always had great success at that show. So you didn't have great success because maybe you weren't in their booth the whole time. Nothing makes me more frustrated with people who attend shows is to leave their booth.
Okay. So that leads to a question. If someone does bad at the show, is it the show's fault?
No. Were there people at the event? You know, the show's job is to deliver people.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's not always even the show's fault on that, because how many, you have to look at the whole picture. How many other major events were going on in that area? That divides the success of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a huge show going on, you know, and there's a huge festival going on within the same 20 miles or 15 miles, yeah, you're going to have an issue a little bit. So you have to know that going in, that, you know, I might get to pull back on staff just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, but still, how do I know? This is, okay, this comes back to people who leave shows early.
Yeah.
I find it to be the most insane thing I have ever laid my eyes on, to pay for something and then leave early. That one guy, I can't tell you how many times I have been in my booth at closing, because I don't allow any of my clients to break down their booth early ever.
Yeah.
Ever. They're not allowed. That one guy may come back to your booth and buy the biggest volume of something, or even, we do so much business with other vendors. But they're so busy at the show that last 15 minutes may be the only opportunity they had to come and mm-hmm. seal the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they may buy. I sold at one show that actually got rained out, the first day we did $10,000 of sales on one vendor. So you don't know. You don't have your crystal ball where you can see who's going to come at what time. You shut down early, you lose opportunity.
Mm-hmm. There was a guy that used to do the shows. He sold windows and doors. He was heavy in the residential market. Now he's I think he's gone into commercial. But when he was doing the shows, they would have their toes on the edge of the carpet, engaging everybody that walked by. Mm-hmm. They would stay until the show closed, and sometimes, a lot of times, they would be there after the show closes talking with people, mm-hmm. because they were willing to stick around when all their competition left out 2 hours early, 3 hours early. This one window manufacturer, window guy, he was still there,
yeah.
willing to talk to people, and he got the business.
Yep. I really don't understand. I really can't comprehend it, why we would pay for something and then not get the full benefit of it.
Well, they can write us a check. If they want to do that, they'll just write us a check and we'll split it. How about that?
I know, right? It doesn't make any sense, because I've been in my booth many times and had somebody come back looking for somebody who already packed up and left.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go, wow. And my team will go, wow. Because they would like to leave early.
Yeah.
But, you know, they get it.
Yeah.
They see what happens in the last 30 minutes, you know, of something. I've even been at shows where everybody was packing up and leaving so early that I find it so unfair to customers who paid money to come to an event. And they're trying to run through something, a show, and get as much information as they can because everybody's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it gives you a bad name to leave a show early. It gives the show a bad name. And not only that, but you lost a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
Possibly.
So, yeah. There's a lot of money thrown away in lost leads, as well as just the money spent on the booth. For the person who's never exhibited before and is not sure if it would work for his or her business, what would you say to them about exhibiting in the shows?
There's a lot to say about that. You know, you have to do some research. You can't just get a table and throw a cloth on it. And you know, you need to think about the information. You know, I talked to a guy who was sharing a booth with KLTY, our radio station,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't really have his own booth. And he was just standing in the aisle passing out brochures. And I was like, I try really hard not to insult people, but what are you doing? What are you doing? Because you're not giving yourself anything.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, coming from advertising, you put your ad in the newspaper or the magazine or whatever, you put it out there in the world and you sit back and you wait for the phone to ring. You know, it's like you open a showroom and, you know, you go open the doors and you're paying the electric bill and you're paying the staff, but you just keep hoping that somebody will walk through the door.
Mm-hmm.
They have to walk through the door. Event marketing is so powerful because you don't have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
The doors open and a crowd of people comes running through in front of your booth. It's like hand-delivered customers, mm-hmm. right to your table.
They're pre-qualified by the fact they're willing to pay money to get into the show.
Absolutely. So to sit back and then have the attitude, which I see a lot, if they're interested, they'll come to me. Half the time, people shop a show at a pace. They start at the end of the aisle. They set their pace. They look left. They look right. They look left. They look right. They look left. They look right. Mm-hmm. Or they get engaged in conversation and miss the whole thing altogether. If I don't interrupt that and stop that, you know, and draw your attention to me,
mm-hmm.
then I missed every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They may be looking for you,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't engage them, so they missed you altogether.
There's that key word again, engagement. Engaging everybody that walks down the
everybody.
Aisle. Everybody.
It's like you're interviewing customers.
Yeah.
Do you have a need? 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 What about mm-hmm. you? Do you have a need? Mm-hmm. What about this? Have you seen this before? Mm-hmm. Have a need? Have a need? I mean, we just go through yes, no, yes, mm-hmm. no, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're disqualifying those that are not interested, but yet you're in the process qualifying those who are. So you pull out the weeds, throw them away, keep the flowers, and go on.
Are some people going to be annoyed because you engage them in conversation? Sure. There's mm-hmm. going to be some people. Mm-hmm. Do you care? No, because in the long run, are you making money? Mm-hmm. You're absolutely making money.
That's the whole point of being at the show.
That's the point. So, you know, it's like I walk into a show, and if somebody across from me is doing something like I was at a show recently, and the guy next to me had never done a show before, and he kept talking to my our customers in our booth. Well, I had to have a little chat about trade show etiquette. This is my space. I paid for this space and half out into the aisle. Mm-hmm. You know, my team is very, very aware that if you're walking down the aisle and you're looking at the right and we're on the left, they need to wait for you to look away mm-hmm. and look our way. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to steal other people's thunder or whatever. And for that very reason, I'm very strategic about where we are in a show mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. so that people end up on my side.
Yeah.
It's important to think about all the aspects of the way people shop and the way they go to shows and why they go to shows. And, you know, you have to put all the pieces together to see the whole picture in a better way mm-hmm. so that you can plan better. But you don't just buy a booth, put a tablecloth on it, and go to a show.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Man, this is great information.
I see, especially, okay, like for instance, I see at shows sometimes like a landscaping company, and they're so incredible to me. Okay, I'm calling it lazy, all right? To me, it's lazy to sit in a chair behind a 6-foot table mm-hmm. and then just sit there. Because I'm thinking in my mind, you're a landscaping company, which is requires a huge amount of energy, and the only thing you can do is sit there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way I perceive it is, are you going to treat my yard? Are you going to be, you know?
Have to take a break every 10 minutes and sit
yeah,
down?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you have to look at all those things. People who market really well, I mean, you have to look at people who are marketing really well and ask them how many they got. If you're not in competition with them, ask them, make friends with them, mm-hmm. ask them how many leads they got. Some people tell you the truth. Some people tell you a lie.
Yeah. There was an HVAC guy that worked in Tulsa, and I talked to this guy that worked for the company up there, eventually went on to start his own trade show training company. He told me about they used to get tons and tons of leads out of the shows. They had it down. They were doing like what your system is. They engaged the people. They set the appointments at the show, and invariably they would come away with tons of business. But when they're walking out the door and talking to their competitor, they're saying, man, it's a terrible show. I didn't get hardly anything out of it. I don't even know why I do this. So I realized right then that I try to believe the best of everybody, but not everybody tells the truth.
Well, and you can understand that you don't want your competitor to know that yeah. you did so good. You know, I can understand that. I would never tell my competitor how many leads I got at a show.
Oh, man, you got to be at this show. I got 200 leads.
Exactly.
Right.
Because I want my philosophy of marketing is be everywhere your competition is and be everywhere they are not.
Are not, yep.
Because that's a sweet deal. Am I unexpected with a window company at a bridal show? Absolutely. Are yep. there homeowners there? Absolutely.
Yep.
Are there people who need windows and doors, sunrooms and whatever? Absolutely.
Yep.
So is the same return you're going to get at a home show? Is it the same? No, it's not the same. It's going to be different. You have to approach it different. You have to sell it different. Sometimes a bridal show can be a slow burn and come back and get you a year later
mm-hmm.
because the wedding's done, you know, whatever. Mom and dad have kids out of the house.
Mom and dad have got through paying for the wedding.
Yeah.
And,
so now
yeah.
that sunroom they've always wanted is on the horizon.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to look at things, but still you found somebody and you have information in your hands that somebody gave you and said, I have a need and it's something I want.
And that goes back to what we talked about earlier was the follow-up. if they don't buy immediately after, stay engaged with them continuously until they either buy from you or they don't. They either buy or die.
Yeah, I say they break up. They go, we are not interested, or we have gone another direction, or you can take me off your mailing list. Mm-hmm. Until they break up with me, I'm going to continue to call.
Very good.
And I'm not going to call them every day, but I'm going to move them to a monthly file.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm going to call them once a month or once a quarter, or once a year. But until they tell me they made a decision.
I'm just amazed at how much business is sitting out there that people don't tap into because they're not going back. They didn't keep the names and the leads that they got from a show, or they just refuse to go back and try to call them again. They might have bought the same. If somebody's selling a variety of products and services, well, they might have talked about a kitchen remodel at one show. They got the kitchen remodeled. They may not have liked the remodeling contractor that they dealt with, but they're ready to do something with the bathroom. There's opportunity. And you never know until you call and ask.
I say this to my clients all the time because sometimes they still don't get it. It's not all of them, but a couple of them, who are kind of newbies. You have to figure, I give you all my clients a sheet at the end to figure out their cost per lead. So you figure out your cost per lead for that show and what it costs you to get every lead. And then, you have that price. So if the price was $65, if every lead cost you $65 to get, which I would say anything from 60 to 125 is pretty decent. Mm-hmm. We do shows, obviously that are cheaper than that, like $20 per lead. But anything is a little bit more normal, 65 to 125. When you start hitting 270, 200 and something, then you need to look at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you figure out your cost per lead, and let's say it's $65. Would you go spend $65 on a pair of shoes, wear them six times, and throw them in the trash? Then why would you do that with a lead?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't call them six times and throw it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get your money's worth.
Yeah.
So you want to get your money's worth, or at least be told that that's not going to work for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put it in perspective, I think, and you understand that you paid for that lead and this is how much it cost, you want to get your money's worth out of
Absolutely.
It. And
Absolutely.
And at least know you tried your best. Six times is not your best.
Yeah.
That's a waste of that. Why'd you even bother?
Mm-hmm.
I can make six phone calls in 1 week to somebody and we're done? Really? No, you're not done.
Good information. You just,
Thank you.
There's lots and lots more that we could talk about. That's probably good for another interview.
Yeah.
And any final thoughts for this go round?
Only if you aren't capable of it, don't do it. You can outsource it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do it unsuccessfully. Just outsource it.
Mm-hmm.
I try to tell new clients, give me three shows. It takes us about three shows to get your product information down to where it becomes, in your brain where you can spiel it really well.
Mm-hmm.
And you to figure out, because most of my clients are not booking appointments before I meet them. So to figure out, like the first client I had, she like triple booked herself because she didn't really think about what she was doing. And I can't know that side of it. Every mm-hmm. client gives me their booking schedule. So I don't know what your availability is or how long it takes to pitch your product and how you do it or whatever. So every client comes up with their own appointment booking schedule. But if you're not booking, book. If you're sitting behind a table, get out. And if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to stand on your feet and say be the first person to speak, then get out of your booth.
Mm-hmm. Good information. If anyone would like to contact you about helping them to exhibit in live events and, of course, our home and garden shows, mm-hmm. what's the best way for someone to reach you?
By cell phone, 817-689-5640. They could also email me. It's Lori, Lori, Rentfro, Rentfrow, @gmail.com.
Okay. And the name of your business is?
Trade Show Management.
Trade Show Management.
And you can pretty much find me at any show, anytime.
Yeah, there's a lot of events going on in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Yeah, and I'm happy to sit down with anybody, you know, go meet with anybody and talk about event marketing and the way it works and how, you know, how I charge. I started this company to help small businesses grow their business through event marketing. Social media is now the number one way to build a business. On that list, advertising in print is like number nine. Event marketing is number three. Out of the top 10 ways to market your business, event marketing is the number three way to grow your business.
And event marketing, compared to email or social media, you cannot shake hands with email or social media. You can do that at live events.
Absolutely.
Well, awesome. Lori, thanks again for taking the time to talk with me today. I know our listeners have picked up some good exhibiting tips and lots of good information that will help them make more money if they act on it.
Great interview. I really, really enjoyed my interview time with Lori, and she provided a ton of usable information. I know that she gave her phone number in the while we were doing the interview, as well as her email, but I want to give it out again in case you want to get in touch with her about possibly staffing your booth in live events using her services with her company, Trade Show Management. If you'd like to talk to her, call her at 817-689-5640 or send her an email. Her email address is LoriRentfro@gmail.com. That's LoriRentfrow@gmail.com. So in the future, we're going to be talking about some more cool things. One of the topics here is beware of crabs. And I got this idea a couple of weeks ago after having a conversation with someone, and we were talking about new exhibitors in our shows, and they listen to people that's been exhibiting for a long time, and it can sometimes drag down the new person. So beware of crabs. Beware the crabs. Anyway. Principles of live event marketing. It's not rocket science. Effective lead generation in a live event. Beware of the shiny object. Beware of big promises, especially from a new show or a new business. Confessions of a seasoned exhibitor. Now, this will be part of the interviews that I'll be doing over the course of the next several months. Why home and garden shows? Power in postcards. Don't sell the job, sell the appointment. Stack the deck in your favor. Market your business and live events and let prospects know you will be at the event. So on our next episode, we're going to talk about it's not rocket science. And I'll enjoy doing that one. That will be a fun one for you to listen to. So as we go forward, this will be eventually posted in iTunes. All the episodes will be going up onto iTunes, but for now, we're not. But when we do go live on iTunes, I'd like for you to go in and like us if you indeed like this program and do the things that we need to do on iTunes to make it to the top. I would greatly appreciate that if you want to do that, if you're enjoying that. But whenever it goes live on iTunes, I will let you know and what all you can do if you like this program. Also, we'll be on Facebook eventually. I want to have a Facebook page on this and possibly LinkedIn. And that's another area where if you would go in and like us so that you can follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn, and also it will show you or it will tell you whenever an episode goes live, a new episode goes live on either one of those. Remember, when you're working on your advertising calendar, Always consider marketing your business to prospects at live events, like our home and garden shows. It's your chance to show and sell. You can do that, right? Well, I want to thank you for listening today. I'm Gary Neidert, and you've just experienced the Exhibit Report podcast. And my granddaughter will be 2 in December.